Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives, and check us out on Instagram, instagram.com/greatdetectives. If you're enjoying the podcast, please follow us using your favorite podcast software. Today's program is brought to you in part by the financial support of our listeners. You can support the show on a one-time basis at support.greatdetectives.net and become one of our ongoing Patreon supporters for as little as $2 per month. Well, now it's time for this week's episode of The Adventures of the Falcon. The original air date, December the 17th, 1950, and the title is The Case of the Baby Brother.
The Kraft Foods Company brings you The Adventures of the Falcon, starring Les Damon.
Hello? Yes, this is the Falcon speaking. Oh, Carol. I'm glad you called. You'll have to count me out tonight, Angel. I've got a date to learn all about gambling. Mm-hmm. Some boy's going to show me how to play a long shot and make myself a killing.
This is Ed Herlihy, friends, inviting you on behalf of the Kraft Foods Company to listen to The Adventures of the Falcon. You met the Falcon first in his best-selling novels. Then you saw him in his thrilling motion picture series. Now join him on the air when the Falcon solves the case of the baby brother.
Miracle Whip
has a flavor so pleasing.
Miracle Whip
tastes so lively, so teasing.
Miracle Whip,
only one of its kind.
Miracle Whip,
best salad dressing you'll find.
Miracle Whip is the only one of its kind because it's a different type of salad dressing made from a secret Kraft recipe. Miracle Whip combines the best qualities of old-fashioned boiled dressing and fine mayonnaise, so it's truly distinctive and delicious, with a flavor millions of folks call just exactly right. Try it, won't you? One taste will tell you why it's America's favorite salad dressing. The one and only Miracle Whip. And now, the case of the baby brother.
Sunday afternoon in New York, and a frightened blonde named Diana Wayne hurries down the second floor corridor of the Maxton, a shabby rooming house on Manhattan's west side. And when she comes to room 2C, Miss Wayne announces herself in no uncertain fashion.
Steve! Steve! Let me in! For heaven's sake, let me in!
All right, give a guy a chance, will you?
Lock it.
Why, what's the matter?
Lock it!
Okay.
Give me a drink.
You starting kind of early, Diana?
I said give me a drink.
All right. Yeah.
Let me have another.
Why don't you wait till that one hits? Now sit down.
Listen, we got to blow town.
Why?
I saw Josh Brady in Times Square today.
You're crazy.
Don't tell me I'd recognize him anywhere.
What's Brady doing away from Washington?
That's obvious, isn't it? He's after me. I've got to get out of here.
Now, take it easy, Diana.
Take it easy. Take it easy. It's all right for you to talk. Brady doesn't know about you.
Would it make things any better if he did?
Well, if you hadn't thrown away the money I took from him on the horses, we wouldn't be in this jam.
There's no use crying over spilt milk.
We've got to leave New York, Steve.
You tell me how. There's 18 bucks left in the kitty. You know how far that'll get us.
I'll borrow 100 from Roger Clayton.
No, you won't.
Why not?
We've put too much work on that sucker to let him get off with train fare.
But if Brady finds
me... Forget it.
Forget that a man wants to kill me. Forget that
Shut up! Oh! Now, behave yourself.
Go on. Hit me. Hit me some more, you big hero.
You don't know how close you are to really getting it.
Well, what's stopping you?
You enjoy it too much. Now, listen to me. We've still got a chance to wind up with a bundle, but you got to work fast. You got to take Roger into camp tonight.
No, I can't.
It's the only way. We haven't got time to string him along. You said the guy's nuts about you already.
But
there are no buts about it. You want to get out of New York, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, if you want to get out alive, you'll go to work tonight.
Now, where the devil did I put that thing?
You in the bedroom, Roger?
Yeah.
Are you going out tonight?
You mind, Paul?
Well, maybe I do. You haven't stayed home one night this week.
So what?
So maybe you ought to start taking it easy.
Look, Paul, when I want your advice, I'll ask for it.
Now, don't get me wrong, kid. I only meant...
I'm not interested in what you meant. I don't have to account to you for anything.
Oh, yes, you do. While you're living with me, you'll keep in line. Who's this gal you're running around with?
None of your business.
I asked you something, Roger.
And I still say it's none of your business. I'm sick and tired of your running my life. Just because you're my brother doesn't give you a license to tell me what to do.
I'm sorry, kid. I didn't mean that.
That's okay, Paul. I'm glad you did it. Because that's the last thing I'm ever going to take from you.
Well, what do you say, Roger?
I suppose I'm not very bright, Diana, but... Well, really, I don't understand you.
It isn't very difficult, honey. Remember this man I mentioned last week?
No.
We were sitting right here in the same booth. He's the one who's got all the connections in the stock market.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, he phoned me this afternoon. He's got an inside tip on a stock that his office is going in for very heavy. He told me it's going to jump at least 10 points in the next 2 days.
Well, I don't see
If we play it smart, we can make a fortune.
Well, sure, but where am I going to get the money to invest in the first place?
Borrow it.
From whom?
Well, what's the matter with your brother, Paul?
I wouldn't take a nickel from Paul. But I've got a couple of thousand of my own.
Don't talk like a fool. How much stock do you think you can buy with a couple of thousand, maybe 20 or 30 shares that doesn't even pay?
Well, then I guess we better forget the whole thing.
We can't afford to.
Well, I don't see where we have any other choice.
Well, how about your office?
You mean Mr. Schnaufel?
Mm-hmm. You told me he was one of the biggest betting commissioners in New York.
Oh, look, honey, if he knew...
Why would he have to?
I don't follow you, Diana.
You've got the combination to the safe.
So?
So, if you went to the office tonight and took, say, 50 or 75 grand...
Forget it.
Why?
Why? It's stealing.
No, it isn't. By Tuesday morning, you'd have the money back.
Well, I knew that last drink was a mistake.
By Wednesday morning, we could be on a plane for Hawaii.
Now, Diana, look...
Think of it, darling. We could do anything we wanted.
You don't know what you're saying.
All right, Roger. That's the way you feel.
Wait, Diana. Where are you going?
What's the difference?
No. Come back here.
Yeah?
Well, at least give me time to think it over.
Time is the one thing we don't have, Roger. If you're going to do it, you'll have to do it tonight. You've got a key to the office, haven't you?
Oh, yes.
Take this.
Diana.
Don't worry. It's on safety.
But what do I want with a gun?
It's a great morale builder, kid. Come on. Put it in your pocket.
Oh, honey, just listen to me for a minute.
If I do, we won't have time to say goodnight. Move over to the corner of the booth.
Please, baby, let's be sensible.
Oh, Roger, I am just crazy about you.
Diana.
Mm?
Wait for me at your place. I'll call you the minute I'm through. Seven right, 51 left, 38 right. What the devil's the matter with this thing?
Obviously, huh? You have made a mistake.
What?
It must be very difficult working with only a flashlight. Allow me.
Mr. Schnabel.
Well, well, well. I suppose I ought to apologize, Roger, for inconveniencing you.
Listen, Mr. Schnabel.
You're probably wondering why I came back to the office. It was sheer destiny. For the first time in a year, I forgot my medicine. Now, why do you suppose it happened tonight, of all nights?
Please,
makes you think, doesn't it? Now, a cynic might ascribe it to coincidence, but I prefer to... Oh, your operator. Would you be so kind to get me police headquarters?
Put down that phone.
I am sorry, Roger. What did you say?
Put down that phone!
98th Precinct, Sergeant Corbett.
Oh, Sergeant, my name is Walter Schnabel. I have an employee
Mr.
in
Schnabel.
My office who I...
No! Are you...
Your Roger.
I told you to put it down.
Hello, Mr. Schnapp.
I told you to put it down.
Clock fast, Diana.
I've told you a dozen times before. It's right on the minute, Steve.
What do you suppose is keeping that schmuck?
How should I know?
He was going to call you the minute he was through.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't think he'd be stupid enough to come up here without giving any...
Here, Steve.
All right, what are you waiting for?
Hello?
Is that you, Diana?
Yeah, where are you, Roger?
Over at my place. Listen, darling.
Don't talk over the phone. I'll meet you at Tony's in 15 minutes.
It's no use. I didn't get it.
You didn't get it?
What?
Schnabel came back to the office before I was through. He caught me trying to open the safe. He was going to call the police, honey. I told him to put the phone down. I begged him, but he wouldn't listen to me.
I don't want to hear anything about it. You promised me you'd get the money and you let me down. Goodbye, Roger.
You don't understand, Diana. I killed it. Hello? Diana? Diana!
Mr. Clayton?
Who is it?
Police.
Be with you in a second, officer.
Come on, pal, open up. I'm giving you fair warning, you haven't got a chance. Clayton! Clayton!
Yes?
I'm looking for a Mike Waring, the Falcon.
I don't know what the good book says. Seek and you shall find. Come in.
Thanks. Nice place you've got here.
I'm glad you approve. Sit down.
I suppose I should introduce myself.
It's customary.
My name's Clayton, Paul Clayton.
Oh, wait a minute. Didn't I read something?
Yeah, it was my kid brother, Roger, who committed suicide yesterday.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry.
Why? He was a dead duck anyway. He killed the man he worked for.
Well, that's one way to look at it.
Well, that's the kind of a guy I am. I've always believed in an eye for an eye. I hear tell the Falcon is the best private dick in New York.
You want me to deny it?
No, I just want you to prove it. Take a look at this picture.
Not bad. Who is she?
That's what I expect you to find out. She's the gal who got my brother in this mess.
What makes you so sure?
I found that picture in his wallet.
Doesn't prove anything.
It does to me.
All right, Clayton. Assuming this is the girl, and assuming I find her, what then?
What do you think?
I think you intend to kill her.
Now, where did you get that idea?
Now, look, Clayton, I know how you must feel about your brother.
Never mind the pretty speeches. Will you find her for me?
No.
Okay. I guess there must be other private detectives in New York.
Look, if anything happens to this girl...
You'll yell copper.
Yes.
I wouldn't do that, fella. Because after I take care of her, I could drop back and take care of you. It's been nice seeing you, Waring. Let's both hope it doesn't happen again.
This is Ed Hurley again, friends. I have a little suggestion for you ladies who wonder what you're going to do for some interesting menu ideas. And my suggestion is this. Just get a 2-pound loaf of Kraft smooth melting pasteurized processed cheese food, Velveeta. You can melt Velveeta for smooth, delicious cheese sauce that'll add extra goodness to vegetables or seafood or rice or just plain toast for a fine main dish. And it's such an easy sauce to make. All you do is melt a 1/2 pound of Velveeta in the top of your double boiler. Notice how smooth it melts without any lumps at all. Then slowly stir in 1/4 cup of milk, season to your taste, and there you have it. A delicious cheese sauce with a wonderful, rich, yet mild cheddar cheese flavor. A flavor that everyone, the youngsters and grandma included, will enjoy often. And it's a wholesome dish, because Velveeta is so rich in important food values from milk. So whether you melt Velveeta for a swell cheese sauce or slice it thick for hearty sandwiches, you'll find Velveeta is a mighty handy helper, Mother. Get a 2-pound loaf tomorrow, won't you? It's America's favorite cheese food, the one and only Velveeta, made by Kraft.
Now, back to the adventures of the Falcon.
An hour has passed since Mike Waring was approached by Paul Clayton to hunt down the girl who was responsible for his brother's death. And now we find the Falcon. He's in a cheap dive, doing a little hunting on his own.
Hello, Eddie.
Oh, hiya, Mike.
Sir, can I have 60 seconds of your valuable time?
Well, I'm talking to this gentleman here, right?
Right. It's very important.
Now, this is too. He was buying.
So will I. That is, if you don't mind.
No, go right ahead, sir. I'll try my luck at the slot machine till you get through.
Thanks a lot.
Don't mention it.
Listen, Eddie, I need your help.
You said something about buying.
Oh, yeah, bartender, give Eddie a refill.
And leave the bottle, Jack.
Eddie, you want to watch it?
Oh, I haven't touched this stuff in weeks, Mike. I'm just trying to break up a cold.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what can I do for you?
Take a look at this picture.
Where'd you get that?
And you recognize her, huh?
No, why should I?
Because you know every grifter who blows into New York. Sometimes I think they register with you.
I don't know this dame.
You're lying, Eddie.
Now listen, Mike.
Come on, spill it. Who is she?
Her name's Diana Wayne.
Diana Wayne?
Yeah. I can't get over it.
Can't get over what?
I guess they're right when they say truth is stranger than fiction. See that guy I was talking to when you busted in? He wondered where he could find Diana, too.
Oh, certainly is a small world, huh?
Yeah. Let's have a drink on
that. Hold it, Eddie. What's his name?
Who?
The man you were talking to when I busted in.
Oh, Josh Brady.
What does he want with Diana Wayne?
Why don't you ask him?
That's a good idea. How you doing, friend?
I can't seem to beat this machine. Nothing but lemons on it.
Mm-hmm. Eddie tells me your name is Josh Brady.
Uh-huh.
I'm Mike Waring.
Oh, I'm glad to know you, sir. Ain't that the lemon? Those lemons again.
You were new in New York, Brady?
Yeah, I'm from Washington.
That where you met Diana?
I beg your pardon?
Diana Wayne.
Well, just what business is it of yours, mister?
I just thought maybe we could join forces. I'm looking for her, too.
Oh. How much did she take you for?
Enough.
Well, if I ever get my hands on her, I'll wring her neck.
You're going to have to stand in line.
Not me. When did you meet her?
Oh, about a month ago.
You're a liar, Mr. Waring.
Huh?
Diana only left Washington a couple of weeks back.
Now, look, Brady...
Go on, Waring. Peddle your papers elsewhere.
Look, suppose we sit down and have a little talk.
I'm not interested.
Now, don't be a fool, Brady. You won't get away with it.
Well, what do you know? I hit the jackpot. Guess nothing can stop me now, Mr. Waring. This is my lucky day.
Come on in, Steve.
Huh?
What's the matter, honey? Did I frighten you?
No. I just thought you'd be out, Diana.
Lucky I got back in time. There was a man here asking for you.
Who?
He didn't leave his name. Just left this envelope.
Oh, thanks.
Well, aren't you going to open it?
Nothing important.
And why are you making such a mystery out of it?
What are you babbling about?
I know if I received an envelope like that, I'd naturally be devoured by curiosity until I found out what was inside.
Well, I know what's inside.
So do I.
What?
A one-way bus ticket to Detroit.
How do you know that?
Elementary, my dear Watson. I opened it.
By mistake, I suppose.
Yeah, I suppose. You know, Steve, that's what I love about you. You're full of surprises. You're even a bigger rat than I thought.
Shut up.
If you think you're going to walk out on me and leave me holding the bag for Roger's suicide, you've got another thing coming.
I was just going to Detroit to see if I could dig up something.
Ha! I'll bet.
Now, don't be silly, sweetheart. Would I lie to my wife?
You certainly would.
Look, will it make you feel better if you hold the ticket?
Yes!
All right, here. Now, you feel better?
Much.
What's the idea of tearing it?
I just wanted to make sure you don't go off without me. So if Josh Brady drops around or anyone else, you'll be right alongside to take your bows.
And that's when I figured I better phone you, Sergeant.
That was very sweet of you, Mike, but I still don't see why.
You don't see why? Two men have threatened the life of this girl in the past 24 hours.
I only have your word for that. Why won't you tell me the names of these two characters?
Because there's no reason to involve them.
One came to my place, and the other I ran across by accident.
Pity you couldn't hold on to the last one.
Well, I had enough work on my hands as it was. It took me another 2 hours and a bottle of bourbon to get the complete story out of Eddie Lewis. Whoa, 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 slow down. 621, 623, must be the next house. Yeah, here we are.
Hmm, what a dump. What floor does she live on?
Second.
You better brief me before we storm the heights.
Well, according to my informant, this girl, Diana Wayne, is working a racket all over the country.
She worked by herself?
No, she's married to a boy named Steve.
What does he do?
Picks out the suckers and spends the money. I understand he's got a system to beat the horses.
That probably explains why they're living in a dive like this.
Oh, wait a minute. 2A, B. Must be the last one down the hall.
You know, there's nothing we can actually hold her on.
I know that, Sergeant. All I'd like you to do is just throw a big enough scare into her so she'll leave town.
Suppose she won't scare?
Well, she will if you tell her the two gentlemen are looking for her with murder as their objective.
I still got a feeling you haven't told me everything.
You don't think I'd hold out on the police?
Yeah, I do. How do I... Uh-oh.
Oh, don't tell me.
Yep, it's open.
I get a guess what's inside?
Go right ahead.
A dead blonde named Diana Wayne.
You're doing fine, Mike. Keep it up.
What do you mean?
Well, having supplied us with a body, I'm going to have to insist you supply us with the name of the party who done it.
Oh, now look,
Come
Sergeant.
On, pal. Start talking. You better if you want to save your own hide.
Well, how do you figure that?
Well, there are some people around who might think you were responsible.
What?
Now, I'm not saying I'm one of them.
Oh, thanks.
I'm keeping an open mind. Now, convince me you're innocent. I dare you.
Remember, tomorrow at your grocer's, you can get a wonderful new salad oil for your homemade salad dressings, your cooking, your baking. It's Kraft Salad Oil, the first salad oil for home use ever offered by the makers of all those wonderful Kraft dressings. Kraft Salad Oil is a lighter-bodied oil, super fine to blend perfectly with other ingredients. Get a pint or quart bottle tomorrow at your grocer's. Ask for Kraft Salad Oil.
Now, back to the adventures of the Falcon. Just a few minutes have passed since the discovery of Diane Wayne's body. And how much to the Falcon's surprise, Sergeant Corbett regards him with a jaundiced eye.
All right, Mike, let's start with page one. You knew this girl was murdered before we walked in here.
Oh, you're being ridiculous, Sergeant.
Well, who do you work for?
No one.
What about that guy who came to your place and asked you to find her?
You mean Paul Clayton?
How would I know his name? You wouldn't tell it to me before.
There was no reason before. He's the brother of the kid who committed suicide a couple of nights back.
Because of her?
Yes.
Well, guess that takes care of everything.
But you think Clayton strangled her?
Don't you?
What do you think a jury would say to that?
You tell me.
They'd acquit him in a minute. It's too pat. Look, if you're going to murder someone, you don't go around telling the world all about it.
So where does that leave us?
Well, I told you there was another boy Diana trimmed.
Who?
A lad from Washington named Josh Brady. And what about husband Steve?
What about him?
Well, don't you think it would be advisable to find out where he disappeared to?
Hmm. You're certainly there with the questions, aren't you?
Well, somebody's bound to ask them, Sergeant. Might as well start digging up the answers. Say, any idea when she died?
Yep, I can tell you that to the minute.
Oh, how?
Come over here. Notice those scratches all over her face and the broken fingernails?
Yeah.
Well, she must have put up quite a battle with her killer. Now come over behind this bookcase.
Oh.
Yeah, in the battle, they knocked over the electric clock.
Uh-huh, so she must have died at 25 minutes past 8.
Yep.
So is the clock broken or just disconnected?
Well, let's try it.
Here's the outlet. Oh, you blew a fuse.
Thanks. I never would have known it.
Well, it answers one of our questions. Now, let's see if Paul Clayton can clean up the others.
Yes?
Hello, Clayton. Remember me?
How could I ever forget, Mr. Waring?
Well, I want you to know we found the girl.
We? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't see your friend in the hallway.
This is Sergeant Corbett.
Hi.
Sergeant?
Yes.
Well, come in, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Now, what's this about the girl?
Her name is Diana Wayne, and she's dead.
Oh.
Is that all you can say?
What do you want me to do? Pretend I'm all broken up? You know how I felt about her.
That's why we'd like to know what you were doing at approximately 8:30 this evening.
Why?
Because that's the time someone put their two hands around her throat and squeezed none too gently.
What time was that again?
8:25, to be exact.
Well, then that lets me out, because from 7 to 10, I was in a bar near Times Square called Jack's.
Can you prove that?
Sure, by the proprietor. I was waiting for a man named Eddie Lewis.
What did you want with him?
I was told he could put me in touch with a girl.
What happened?
Well, he didn't show, and I got tired waiting.
Well, what do you think, Mike?
Same as you do, Sergeant. I think we all better go on to suspect number two.
I still don't see what all you gentlemen want with me.
Well, I don't know about the sergeant and Waring, but I came along to congratulate you.
For what, Mr. Clayton?
For doing something that I wanted to do. And if you need any dough for legal expenses, you just let me know.
What's he talking about?
What were you doing at 8:30 tonight, Brady?
Oh, probably playing a slot machine someplace. You know, it's the funniest thing. I just can't stay away from those gadgets.
Mm-hmm. And where was this one located at?
Oh, I don't rightly remember.
But you do recall being clipped by a girl named Diana Wayne.
It's funny. I don't seem to recollect that either.
Look, that you all routine isn't going to get you anywhere, Brady. The sergeant here could disprove it in 5 minutes.
I'd like to see him try.
That's easy. You probably made a complaint to your local DA after Diana clipped you. All I have to do is call Washington, D.C., and I'll
Hold the line, Sergeant.
What now?
I know who killed Diana Wayne.
You mean Brady just gave himself away?
No, I mean he just gave you away, Clayton.
The heat's got you.
In December? Don't be ridiculous. Wait a minute, I'll take that back. It is possible for the heat to get you this time of the year. And you're going to find that out at Sing Sing very shortly.
Got time for one more, Mike?
No, I've got to run, Sergeant.
No, you don't. Mm. A couple of questions I want to ask you first.
Oh? Well, while we're on the subject, there's one I want to ask you. Did you pick up Steve Wayne?
Yeah, in Detroit. Lucky the bus driver remembered him. Steve gave him a ticket that had been torn up and glued together. It was like you suspected. He ran out in the missus.
Sweet kid. So he left Diana alone to face the music, huh?
Yeah, but what gets me is how you knew that said music was provided for by Paul Clayton.
Well, first of all, he had an alibi for 8:30, whereas Josh Brady didn't.
What kind of logic is that?
Oh, the best kind in a case like this, Sergeant. Because when Clayton was so ready with his alibi, it occurred to me that maybe Diana wasn't murdered at the time we originally thought.
What about that electric clock?
Just a prop supplied by the killer. Never could have belonged to Diana.
How do you know that?
Well, an electric clock works only on alternating current. And in that section of New York...
Yeah, sure. There, they only have DC, direct current.
Mm-hmm. Remember how you blew a fuse when you tried to get it going?
Well, as a matter of fact, the medical examiner now says that Diana was killed around 6:45. But what gets me is how you knew that.
I didn't. All I knew was that the clock never belonged to Diana.
How?
When you said you were going to call Washington, D.C., that D.C. rang a bell. Then I realized Clayton must have brought that clock with him to fix his alibi.
Didn't I say all along that Clayton killed her?
That you did.
You wouldn't believe me.
Well, he was the most obvious suspect, Sergeant. And we've all been conditioned by those mystery stories to believe that the most obvious suspect is always innocent.
That'll teach you.
Yeah, it's taught me a lot of things. If a man were to walk up to me this minute and announce he's planning to murder some girl, you know the first thing I'd do now?
What?
Set up a date in advance with some other girl so I wouldn't have to end the evening with you. Good night, Sergeant.
There comes a time in the life of every homemaker when she has to fix a dinner fast, and that's when Kraft Dinner is such a help. You see, in just 7 minutes cooking time, Kraft Dinner makes delicious macaroni and cheese, wonderful tender macaroni with fine cheese flavor all through, just like I said, in only 7 minutes cooking time. That's because every package of Kraft Dinner gives you a special quick-cooking macaroni and just the right amount of Kraft grated for that grand cheese flavor. So tomorrow, get a couple of packages of Kraft Dinner.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Welcome back. Well, given that AC alternating current has replaced direct current in most homes, this episode would seem to be an artifact of its era with its conclusion. However, you probably still could have made the solution work up until 2007 when Con Ed finished the 8-year project of depreciating DC power transmission into New York City. Though I don't know if they still made direct current alarm clocks in 1999 to 2007. The only thing I didn't like in this is that Sergeant Corbett was a little too quick to expect an identification of a murder suspect. Unusual for him. It's as if he realized that there was only 10 minutes left in the episode and they had to get somebody to pin it on. Listener comments and feedback, and we start over on YouTube where String writes, "This is a fun series, and the commercials for Miracle Whip and Velveeta are hilarious. Those quote-unquote foods are so toxic, and they're talking about how healthy they are. Crazy." Well, thanks for the comment. Obviously, society has gone through quite a few changes as to what we view as healthy or unhealthy during the past 74 years. In fact, Velveeta actually was the first cheese product to gain the American Medical Association's seal of approval. They stated in the 1931 finding that it contained all of the nutritional values to make firm flesh, making Velveeta a 1930s superfood. And studies done by Rutgers University confirm the AMA's findings. However, the website Grub Americana adds context, but those were the days when doctors endorsed cigarettes too. Now, Velveeta has been reformulated, and I do wonder whether Velveeta and Miracle Whip in earlier forms might have been more nutritious or healthy than they are today, but I'm not entirely sure. But thanks for the observation. I'm glad you're enjoying the podcast. Another listener writes, "Amazing, thanks for uploading." And then we turn to an email from Kim Zuckert, whose father is the late Bill Zuckert, who we hear on many of these programs. And Kim writes, "Having caught up with the wonderful Mr. Chameleon, I have now started listening to this year's episodes of The Falcon, and I found a great surprise. I had no idea my father, Bill Zuckert, was in the regular company of that show. I've looked ahead and noticed his name in the show notes of a couple of episodes that have aired, which is very cool, and I'm looking forward to hearing them. But he was also in a couple episodes I listened to yesterday where he is uncredited. In the first, The Case of the Worried Champion, he plays the title character of the champ who hires the Falcon. When he started to speak, I thought, is that my father? And then I definitely recognized him. He was not the master of a thousand voices, but one of his voices was the Big Dumb Lug, and that was definitely the voice he used for the champ. Two episodes later, The Case of the Talented Twins, a title that makes no sense at all, I recognized him immediately in the role of the club owner, because that was just his regular speaking voice. But then I realized he was also playing the henchman of the bad guy, and also was the stage manager of the Kit Kat Club. He only had one line, so obviously they weren't going to hire another actor. But the fact that he actually tripled when he very, very rarely doubled due to, as stated above, the fact that he didn't have an overabundance of different voices in his repertoire. I love listening to the show, have for many years, even when I'm not getting the lovely surprise of hearing my father's voice. Keep up the great work." And Kim also notes that she wrote that up and hadn't sent it, and then listened to the case of the widow's gorilla and the Stooges, Aaron, and in both cases, he plays the title characters, the Stooge and the gorilla. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that, Kim. Over the time we've been doing the podcast, we've heard from about 3 different people who were related to Golden Age radio stars, but more from Kim than anyone else, and I appreciate her insight. When it comes to recognizing voices and adding them to the show notes, I tend to be pretty conservative about it, just because when I started out, I would look for programs where various actors appeared in, like Orson Welles. He got misidentified as being in so many programs that it wasn't funny. So I don't want to create false narratives. And honestly, I've heard less of the New York radio, and the New York radio also tends to credit actors less, and so you have less opportunities to put a name to a voice. The problem with Bill Zucker and the Big Dumb Lug voice is that there were quite a few actors who did Big Dumb Lug voices, and it can be tricky for me to pick between them, but obviously not for Kim. And it's delightful to get that note and to get that particular feedback. And having that pointed out, I may be improving on my Bill Zuckert spotting skills. Again, thank you so much. Appreciate the comment, Kim. Now it's time to thank our Patreon supporter of the day. And I want to go ahead and thank Stephanie. Stephanie has been one of our Patreon supporters since March of 2020, currently supporting the podcast at the Shamus level of $4 or more per month. Thank you so much for your support, Stephanie. And that will do it for today. If you're enjoying the podcast, please follow us using your favorite podcast software and be sure to rate and review the podcast wherever you download it from. We will be back with you next Monday for another Adventure with the Falcon, but join us back here tomorrow, and you won't have to guess if Bill Zuckert's in this one, as he's the star, as we bring you previously uncirculated episodes of Squad Room. Where?
Must be the only one without a padlock.
Ronnie!
Where'd he go? All right, we'll hold it down to talk. Open the door slow.
I hope Barney kicked out the windows inside. You get that odor?
Yeah. Barney, when he called in, excited. Woman, he said, and a 7-year-old and infant, both boys.
Doc.
Oh, no, I'm not reaching for any light switch. It's gas. He kicked the windows out, but why'd he leave the door closed? Get a chair or something. Door's got a big spring. Close it. Yeah. Woman over here on the daybed. Guess Barney didn't wait. He got the kids out fast, her 2 boys. No, I guess he found the boys still alive.
See dead scan? Woman, the mother?
Yeah. Gas heater over here. Accident, huh?
Coroner. Pipe's busted. The union in the elbow where it makes a bend into the wall.
Coroner, yeah. See if you can find if Barney got them out, those 2 boys.
I hope you'll be with us then. In the meantime, send your comments to box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives. And check us out on Instagram, instagram.com/greatdetectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.